This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, today is the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday, we begin a brand new church year with the season of Advent. However, on the last Sunday of the church year, it's common to focus on the second coming of Christ and the final day of judgment. And what all that means, of course, for our lives as Christians here and now. Today, I also continue my sermon series in the Gospel of Luke. And it just so happens that today's reading from Luke chapter 10 fits very well with today being the last Sunday of the church year. Especially Jesus' words, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Now, what does it mean that your names are written in heaven? How do you know if your name is written in heaven? I'll answer those questions later in the sermon. For now, let's take a look at today's gospel reading. Our reading begins with these words, "The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.'" Now, who are these 72? Well, if you were here last Sunday, you will recall that my sermon was based on Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, the part of Luke's gospel immediately preceding today's gospel reading. Now, in last Sunday's gospel, we learned how Jesus sent out 72 men to various villages to preach about the kingdom of God and thereby prepare the way for Jesus. Once again, what is this preaching about the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is about God's Son coming into the world to save his enemies from the eternal judgment they deserve because of their sin against God. And we need to remember that we are by nature God's enemies. And so the preaching of the kingdom of God includes acknowledging your sin and trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness that you need. And the reason we must trust in Jesus is that he is the only one who makes it possible for us sinners to be forgiven, because he took our sins to the cross where he suffered the judgment and the damnation that we deserve. And so those who agree with God that their sin is evil and also trust in Jesus as their Savior, such people are forgiven and can look forward to Jesus' return on the final day. However, those who refuse to acknowledge that their sin is evil and see no need to trust in Jesus, such people remain under God's condemnation and have no hope on the final day. Therefore, Jesus sends out the 72 to proclaim the kingdom of God. He also gives them authority to perform healing miracles and to cast out demons as a sign that their preaching is from God himself. However, when the 72 return from their mission, they're focused on the wrong thing. You see, they're thrilled that they have this power. Power to work miracles, especially power over the demons. But then Jesus tells them and us what is really important. Jesus says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Here Jesus reminds them that even though they have power over the demons because Jesus gave them that authority, what's more important is that their names are written in heaven. Now, in a bit, we'll talk about what that means precisely. For now, though, I want to deal with this strange comment by Jesus where he says that nothing will harm you. How can that be? On several occasions, Jesus tells his disciples that in this world they will suffer and face many trials and be persecuted. So how can Jesus say that nothing will harm them? Well, you need to understand that Jesus is telling them that nothing can take away their hope of eternal life in him. When Jesus says that nothing will harm them, he doesn't mean that we won't face trials or difficulties or suffering in this life, because we certainly will. Instead, Jesus is telling them that through faith in him, their sins are forgiven. Through faith in him, they have the certain hope of eternal life, and therefore, not even death can harm them. Nothing can take away the hope that we have in Jesus. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 8. After he lists all the trials and difficulties that we face in this life, he says, nothing will separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. You are more than conquerors through him who loves us. So when Jesus says that nothing will harm you, he means that the devil cannot take away the hope we have in Jesus. A hope that is sure and certain even in the midst of suffering and death. So if you have the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life through faith in Jesus, then nothing can harm you. Not even death itself. Praise the Lord. Well, Jesus goes on to praise the Father because this truth of salvation through him alone is hidden from the wise and learned, but revealed to little children. Now, who are the wise and learned? The wise and learned are the foolish unbelievers who think they know better than God. The wise and learned are the people of this world who don't take their sins seriously and see no need for Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. But in contrast, the little children are believers who agree with God about their sin and who trust in Jesus for forgiveness and eternal life. Now please understand, when Jesus praises the Father for hiding this truth from the wise and learned, he doesn't mean that God doesn't want to save them. He certainly does. What Jesus means is that he is glad that his Father does not put up with the mockery of unbelievers who refuse to confess their sins and trust in Jesus. Instead, the Father strives to humble them and convict them of their sin so that they will become like helpless children and trust in Jesus for all they need, especially for the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus then goes on to say this: all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Well, simply put, the Father sent his Son into the world to save sinners, and Jesus chooses to reveal his forgiving Father to those who are broken and convicted of their sin and long for mercy. These are people to whom Jesus reveals his forgiving Father. Sadly, those who deny their sin, those who refuse to repent of their evil, they will never know Jesus' forgiving Father, nor will they experience his mercy, but only his wrath. Finally, Jesus says the following to his disciples. He says, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, all those believers who lived before Jesus was born, all those Old Testament saints, they didn't get to see what the disciples were able to see. All those Old Testament believers were looking ahead to the promises of God that had not yet been fulfilled. But here, Jesus' disciples see God's promise fulfilled right in front of their eyes in the flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, who will go to the cross and die for their sins and rise from the dead to conquer death for them. In fact, in a similar way, we're also blessed because we live during a time when Jesus has completed his work. We live during a time when Jesus' life, suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension have already taken place. What the Old Testament believers only saw from a distance, we can say, Amen, they have been completed. Jesus has finished his work. The only thing that we're waiting for now is the second coming of Christ in power and glory. That's what we're waiting for. And on that day, Jesus will judge the living and the dead, as we say in the Creed. On that day, the book of life will be opened, and all whose names are written in the book of life will enter God's new creation and live in his love forever. But those names who are not written in the book of life will be cast into hell, where they will be separated from God's love forever. And now we're ready for a very, very personal question. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Now, why do I call it the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, the Lamb is a name for Jesus. You may remember that for centuries in the Old Testament, God's people were commanded to sacrifice lambs as a picture that their sins were forgiven because one day someone innocent would die in their place of judgment. And so Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But once again, the question, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How do you know? In our first reading from the book of Daniel, we heard that on the final day the dead will be raised, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel says that only those whose names are written in the book will be delivered, that is, will be saved and live forever with God. Once again, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How do you know? In our second reading from the book of Revelation, we see that on the final day, books will be opened, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter the city, that is, God's new creation. All others will be cast into the lake of fire, that is, eternal hell, where they will be separated from God's love forever. So once again, the important question, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How do you know? Well, you need to understand two important things if you want to know if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. First, you must know that God wants all to be saved. God wants everyone's name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yet, Scripture clearly teaches that some names won't be written there. Not because God doesn't love them, not because God doesn't want to save them, but because they refuse to acknowledge their sin and they will not trust in Jesus. Therefore, even though the Father has sent his Son to save all sinners, some reject God's word and consign themselves to hell. But now for the second point, the key to understanding if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. According to the Bible, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are the little children who believe what God says about their sin and who also believe that Jesus has delivered them from their sin. In other words, if God has moved you to acknowledge your sin and to agree that your sin deserves hell, but if God has also moved you to trust in Jesus as your Savior from sin, then praise the Lord, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But wait a minute, someone says. Pastor, if that's true, then what about these words from our reading in Revelation where it says the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books? Boy, Pastor, that sounds like my eternal destiny is based on what I do rather than on what Jesus did for me. In fact, the book of Revelation goes on to say that we will be judged according to what we've done. Again, that sounds like it's all up to me. No, my friends. If there's one thing that's very clear in the scriptures, we are all equally sinful and deserve nothing but hell. But if we're saved, it's all because of Jesus and what he's done for us. And so, when Revelation talks about people being judged according to what they've done, it's not talking about whether you've done enough good things to be worthy of eternal life. Instead, it's talking about whether you lived as a believer or an unbeliever. Did you cling to your sin and reject Jesus? Or did you repent of your sin and trust in Jesus? That's what it's talking about. What did you do? Did you deny your sin and live in unbelief? Or did you agree with God about your sin and cling to Jesus? For example, our reading from Revelation also says that nothing impure will enter God's new creation, nor will anyone who does what is shameful and deceitful. Well, I don't know about you, but that leaves me out. We're all sinners, aren't we? Our many sins make us impure. If I have to stand before God on the final day, based on my own works, with no sin and only goodness and purity, then I may as well pack my bags for hell right now. I don't know about you, but I have plenty of impurity in my life. Thoughts, desires, words, deeds, more than I can number, shameful, evil sins. We all have them. So then how is it possible for anyone to enter the city when Revelation says nothing impure will enter it? No one who does what is shameful or deceitful. We're all guilty of doing shameful and deceitful things. How can anyone enter the final glorious city of God if that's the case? Here's the answer. At the end of our reading from Revelation, it says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes." Now, what's that talking about? Well, the answer is found earlier in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 7, it says the following about those who wash their robes. It says this: "They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." In other words, those who wash their robes are those whose sins are forgiven and who have been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus because of their faith in his blood shed for them. And so those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are not those who have done enough good things to be worthy to be there, no. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are the helpless little children who have been washed from their sin through faith in Jesus' shed blood. My friends, we come to the waters of holy baptism as impure sinners who deserve nothing but eternal hell. However, in Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul tells us what Christ does for us in the waters of holy baptism. Listen to what Paul says. "Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." That's how you can know if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In fact, allow me to read for you the first three stanzas of our sermon hymn. This hymn means so much to me because every time I sing this hymn, it gives me hope. It helps me remember that an impure sinner like me can stand before God with absolute purity on the final day because of Jesus. And this good news is for you too. So why don't you turn to hymn 563 and meditate on these first three stanzas as I read them for you. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, cleansed and redeemed, no debt to pay. Fully absolved, through these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God pleads for the captive's liberty, was also shed in love for me. So that's how you can know if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you agree with God that you're a sinner? Do you believe that Jesus shed his blood for you? If so, God has saved you, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what that means? As you live in your life in this world, you can face any trial, any persecution, any difficulty, even death itself, without fear, knowing that nothing will harm you because your sins are forgiven. And you have the certain hope of the resurrection of the body and eternal life in God's new creation. Nothing, not death, not the devil, can take that away from you. Nothing will harm you. Because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you get to live for Jesus now. That means daily grieving over the sin in our life, daily bringing it to Jesus and knowing that through his blood we are cleansed and pure before God. And then by the power of the gospel, daily striving to live to God's glory and conforming your lives to his loving plan for the way he wants you to live. But the good news is that when the knowledge of your sin and your impurity weighs you down, you can know that through Jesus, you have been washed and you are holy and pure before God because you have been clothed with Jesus' own righteousness. So to be judged according to what you have done means that if you live this life as a repentant believer, if you die like a little child clinging to Jesus and Jesus alone as your Savior, then you can die with absolute confidence and without fear because you can know without a doubt that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you get to live now in that peace and certainty. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.